blessed. Amen. Amen, sister. In the first service, I thought I'll introduce myself because this, but in this service, it looks like I know most people. But there's so many new people, so I let me introduce myself again. Maybe I do not know some of you, so maybe you don't know me. I grew up in a good Christian home. My parents were not religious, but I grew up religious. Now, I realize sometimes I have to explain what I mean with religiousness, because for some people, religiousness is like a good thing, and you're talking about it as a negative thing. Now, when I talk about religiousness, it's that form of godliness, but the power thereof was lacking. Now, I grew up like that. There was a form of godliness in my life, going to church routinely, but definitely myself was not pure and holy. Anyway, so I became a Christian at university in Chofar Church. Then eventually went back to Windhoek, worked there, helped a little bit there with the church. There's, how many Chofar churches are there in Namibia? Still only, no, there's three now, Walvis Bay. And then I came to Swakop. I felt it was a job opportunity, but I felt I must come to this church. And long story short, this also became a Chofar church. Chofar. I've been in Chofar for quite a while. I like our church. I'm not saying it's the best church. It is a good church. It must improve. But what I want to talk about this morning is you must think of a team sport that you like. What team sports do you like here, out here? Any team sports? Huh? Nobody likes team sports. If you're a wife, pretend you like your husband's team. Like my wife, the other day I asked her, because I did really think she watches rugby, or did at least. And then I realized she actually never did. So now I've got a bit of a problem at home. But she is quite honest. She likes Wales and not the Springboks, because she's got some Welsh blood, although it's like this little bit. Now she needs to be Welsh. But anyway, so rugby is my sport. I'll use it as an example. Every now and then, the other team scores a try against you. And then if you play rugby, you end up standing there at the back, behind the poles. And normally you get a little talk from the captain. If the captain is injured, then you get a talk from the vice-captain. Now, what do they talk about there? Anybody with an idea?
Motivation.
Sorry? Weak points. Hopefully they talk also about the captain tries to calm everybody down. Depends on what team you are. It's easier if you're All Black, because they're normally quite calm. But they hopefully talk a little bit through the game plan. Okay, guys, this is not, we don't really want to be here the whole time. But this is what we trained, and this is the game plan, and this is now what we're going to do. And hopefully not all of it's quite new to that team, because then you're in trouble. And you also don't want to be overcomplicated there behind the poles. You just want to give some people direction and say, listen, we've practiced for this. Let's just stick to what we do. Okay, and let's go and do this. So I just want to share a little bit about that today. What is our... Sorry, Saki, jy is so lank. Almal kyk nou in jou vas. Hy probeer so saggie uit, maar dit werk nie. Cheers, Saki. Then you just need to look at the team and what you stand for and where you go. And I just want to share that a little bit today. What do we stand for as a church? As this church. Not the perfect church, but just this one. And to get you excited again, depending on which level you are in this church, if you're new from another church, if you're not a Christian yet, or if you're a Christian for a day or 20 years, we can all get excited about the same game plan because you've got some young players. You got some old ones. Springboks have a couple of very old ones that we don't know if they should be there. But I As long as they're blue bulls, they can be there. So what do we stand for as a church? And I'm just going to read a few scriptures. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And we read these scriptures very often, we hear them. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We're going to get to that later, but remember authority. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," disciples, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So that's the first part of Scripture. So our team talk, if we have a team talk, if we have to go back to basics, what are we all about, what do we do? This is one of the fundamental things, is what we do. We're supposed to make disciples. Now, I'm not talking about only making disciples today, but I think Mark the Vet is a very good example of making disciples. You can become very complicated about making disciples, and it needs to be like this and like that and whatever. Making disciples is spending time with somebody and teaching him some Christian principles. Spending time. That's all it is. If you don't spend time with people you want to disciple, they're not going to get discipled. Just forget about it. So we make it very complicated. It is just helping a younger Christian, showing him some things, and he grows up and he becomes stronger in Christ. Amen. The other scripture I want to read, Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. So what are we all about? We're making disciples. That first scripture also said baptizing. I'm going to get to that. And this in Acts 2 also paints a picture of what the early church did and what we should be doing and pursuing. And it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship," it's important, "to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Verse 45, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any has need." Don't worry, I won't talk about that. Not today. "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." If we go to the next slide, there's just a couple of things I want to highlight from these two portions of Scripture. There in Matthew 8, it says, Jesus said, "I received all authority." And then he says, "Now go and make disciples." So what I want you to see is that when we are sent in authority. We are sent with that same authority. We're not sent, we're not a schoolboy team playing against adults. We are sent with authority. And authority and arrogance is two different things. Authority can come across arrogantly for some people, but if it's in humble and meekness, authority has its place, and we should walk in authority. It says, "Go and make disciples." In both scriptures, it talks about teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There was fellowship. They walked in the miraculous. I think Clarence shared it in the beginning here. Are we just coming to church every day? You know, as an example out of my own life. Now, do I walk in the miraculous? Do I walk in the spiritual things of God? An example. Do I always just, if my child is sick, just always give her Panados and pills? Or do I sometimes pray for her and she gets healed and she knows she got healed? That's like, we're talking headaches. Headaches is here. Raising people from the dead is there. But we can start somewhere. What I'm trying to say is, it's so easy for us, for me, being now I'm a charismatic in a charismatic church, but the picture that I can bring across to my child can be very religious. It can be very routine. Oh, yeah, church, we clap hands every Sunday. That's all. But if she doesn't see anywhere that this stuff works, if I don't make sure it works, then what does she see? She sees the same that I saw when I grew up. Routine. If she doesn't see that praising God, worshiping, reading the Bible makes daddy better, a better person, a softer, more humble, meek person that she wants to be around, then what am I showing her? Okay, I was actually talking about the miraculous. No, it's not, but we're going to get to that. We can pursue these things. Christ says we can walk in it. We must walk in it. Let's start with a headache. I remember my first mission very long ago. A little child came up to me. Normally I was like trying to hide when people need prayer. Ah, there's the leader. Now this child came to me and I had to pray for a headache. And there was no Panadus and no other people that could pray. So I had to pray for the headache with no Panadus. And I think it worked. The guy walked away. Either he was very happy or like, dude, you don't know what you're doing. I don't know what it, but I think it worked because it was just put in that position. And sometimes in our own homes, okay, we have to do the same. Now that was just a little recap. What I actually want to do today is show you those things that Scripture asks us. Walk in the apostles' teaching. They had all things in common. They made disciples. I think we've got a very good game plan in this church. I just want to have a little team talk to show you what we have in place. Because one thing I can promise you in our church, and if it's not like that, wake us up. But we're not happy with people, Jesus is not happy with people arriving and after 10 years leaving the same way. He's not. Because he loves them. He wants them to be delivered, to be set free, to grow in maturity, to grow in his love, to grow in worship. Are you with me? So hopefully this is a church where you feel that they don't leave me alone. I hope you feel like that. But I hope you understand why you feel like that, and that is because we want you to grow in Christ. I'm not happy. The church definitely wasn't happy with the way I entered. Well, I don't want to say the church wasn't happy. But I went through a process where people were constantly encouraging me, come on, do this, pray, let's pray for you. Because Jesus is happy with us, but he sees where he wants to take us. Are you with me? That process of growing. So, no, we don't want to leave people like they are. We want to help you conform to the image of Christ. Does it make sense? Can somebody just say amen? Huh? So we're not going to leave you alone. If you want to be in a church where you are left alone, this is the wrong one. This is the wrong one. But see our hearts behind it. We don't want you to walk at the lowest possible level just into heaven. That's all. Just like when the doors open, we just made it. No! We're going to run in there. We're going to experience heaven on earth. We're going to experience his deliverance on earth. That's what we're for. We won't leave you alone. Amen? Because we love you. What is our game plan? In church, we have got a couple of things called encounters and foundations. The first one, I had to write it here on my hand, 19 September and 26 September, two Wednesdays. We've got foundations. Why am I so obsessed with foundations? I am obsessed about it. I am obsessed that people must get to foundations. Why? I'm going to tell you why. The first encounter. So yes, obviously I'm trying to get you to encounter one, but I actually want you to see why you should get to encounter one and then decide by yourself you want to get there. Amen. This is not like, I'm not going to check up on everybody if they go to encounter one. I'm not going to do that. But encounter one, we speak about basic things of Christianity. First one, salvation, baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, and praise and worship. If I remember correctly, these are the things. So let's just touch on those quickly. Salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus does not patch up old stuff He removes them and he gives new stuff. Jesus didn't patch up my old life, didn't patch up my issues. He removed it and I was made new. That is what salvation means. It is the new man that is being born again. That's why altar calls in church, calling people to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's part and parcel of what we do. We do it every time because that's what we do. People must get saved. People must experience salvation. In Foundation 1, we teach you what salvation is. I say again, Jesus doesn't manage. He doesn't want us to manage old stuff, habits, and sin in our lives. He removes them. He makes us new. And every now and then I have to look at myself again and say, Lord, there's some old stuff coming back. I don't want to manage them. I want to get rid of them. That's what Jesus did. I remember when I got saved. Jesus didn't talk to me about my sins at that time. I had sins when I got saved. And then a while later, it was like the light came on in that area of my life and the Lord said, that's sin. And I said, okay, I'm dropping it. And I dropped it like this. I actually remember how I got saved. I asked the Lord to help me to stop drinking. And he did. New. It's not like he managed my alcohol problem. He didn't manage it. He took it away. Amen? Jesus takes stuff away. Are you excited about it? Don't let people, when they come to you, I don't like it when they come and I say, oh, but I've got so much stuff in my life that I have to sort out before I come to Christ. No. Come with this stuff. That's what he does. Because he makes new. Salvation, that's one of the things we talk about in Foundation 1. So, what I want you to think about, you are in different positions in church. You're either very new, you're from a new church, or you're in a small group. You must start seeing these people. Oh, he needs to go to Foundation 1. He's got an issue with salvation. We need to help him. Send him there. It's not the Alpha and Omega hour recipe, but I know it works. Okay, the next one is we talk about baptism. We had a baptism last week. Nice. Great stuff. Okay, now this is a bit of a tough one to chew, and I'm going to make it a bit tough, and then I'll explain it. Because it needs to be a bit tough. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. So, this scripture says, to be saved, you must do what? Two things. What? Believe and baptize. Is that what it says? We'll be saved. So if you only repent and accept Christ, where will you go if you die? I know it's getting a bit warm in here, but that's all right. Where do you go if you only accept Jesus and say, Lord, I accept you and you're not baptized yet? Where do you go? You go to heaven. Okay? Now, what does the scripture mean then? Are you saved or not saved? It says you need to be believe and get baptized to be saved. What does it mean? Come to Foundation 1. Now you need to wait 4 weeks. No. Salvation is a process. It's a process. It starts with you giving your life to Jesus. And then if you die, you will go to heaven. But listen, we're not there just to make it. Then the next step in your process of salvation, the very first one, is to get baptized. Then there's some more steps, and we're still getting saved, and we're still in that process until Jesus comes back. Then this process of salvation will be complete. So you see, it's part of the process to get baptized. But so, baptism must be on our words, church. On our lips, I mean. Not on our words. Baptism, talking about baptism, hey, you're baptized. Wow, when I got baptized, it was amazing. Are we hiding baptism or is it out there as a church? I don't want it to be hidden. Okay? In Foundation 2, we talk and we explain baptism. And Foundation 2, you get baptized. We don't have to wait for foundations to get baptized. We baptized somebody the other day without any foundation. Okay? But I'm just telling you, showing you. Baptism. The second one, and I'll read this. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. We talk and we teach a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. There are 9 spiritual gifts. We can walk in all of them, but God has probably ordained and decided before we were even created that this is the one I want to give you, or these are the 2 I want to give you. So I want to tell everybody here, there's a spiritual gift in you, or that God wants to give you when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. It is our duty to flow in that, to operate in that. Everybody has been assigned a spiritual gift. And I'm not talking about praying in tongues. Now I'm going to confuse everybody. But we all have the ability to pray in tongues if the Holy Spirit. All of us must get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But then you also get given specifically, God will give you a spiritual gift. And the thing is, we deprive the world from withholding operating in that gift. Because the gift is to edify the church, is to edify and uplift people. So are you getting what I'm saying? We have a duty to operate in that gift so that people around us can be set free. We can't. That's why the scripture says, earnestly desire it, pursue it. How often do we flow in the gifts? How often do I flow in the gifts? We are a charismatic church. Let's flow in the gifts. Amen. Now it's very quiet here. 12 verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I'm just going to read through these 9. But there's 1 or 2 of these which each and every one of us here, everyone, the Holy Spirit wants you to flow in and operate in. I just want to add, maybe you're here this morning and all this stuff is very new. When I encountered these things for the first time, I was scared. I was nervous. It's not wrong to feel like that. It's not wrong to be nervous. All I'm asking you to, and luckily God gave me the grace to discern between these 2 things, is it the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit convicting your conscience that this, yes, it's different, but it's from me? You must just discern. Ask sometimes people that are going to say spiritual things, and you have to discern if this is from God or not. I know God is faithful. You can ask Him that whatever I'm saying now, is it from Him or not? You might still experience the uncomfortableness, but there will be a little voice that tell you, this is from me. This is from me. This is from me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then you have to pursue it. Okay. Are you still here? I lost my place again. Now, to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. You have one of those. God wants to give you one of those the day you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Nobody goes without a gift. Are you with me? And we deprive people around us from not flowing in that, not practicing that gift. I really think there's room for improvement in this area, if I can just say it. There's room for improvement in my own life. But I know there's room for improvement. Will we flow in these gifts? Amen? Because I've got... There's numerous examples of where people that do not get set free from preaching. They get set free from a word of wisdom. Where somebody that doesn't know them from a bar of soap comes and says, this has happened in your life, and Jesus says the following to you. And the person changes because there's a word of wisdom and knowledge. Now, we are depriving these moments from people if we don't flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, like Scripture here says, desire these gifts. Desire to walk in them. And as a church, I'm not hiding that. We baptize people in water, and we pray that the Holy Spirit and God baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. We flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're not afraid to say it. That's what we do. Amen? Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Amen. Let's move on. That's foundation one, people. That's what we, basically what happens in foundation one. It is fundamental that if people do not go to foundation one, that some way somebody talks to them about this stuff. Because otherwise they can't become disciples. Foundation one must be full next time. Because we're going to invite them. Amen? The next one is encounter two. Team talk, game plan, people. How do we operate? Let me just get my notes here. Encounter two, as far as I'm concerned, talks about the family of God, the church, this one. It explains what we are for, what we're committed to in your life, what we want you to commit towards. And all I can say is that I think I've skipped, and I'm confessing now, skipped church 9 years now, twice in Swakopmund. Once or twice. Those were the most horrible Sundays of my life. Because there's something that happens here. When I come here, I might not even like the message so much or whatever, but there's stuff that happens here when we come together as a family. Amen? Scripture says, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We've got so many excuses. I'm talking about Encounter 2. It's talking about the family, this church. Let's go further. Small group. People, on Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, I probably have about 10 excuses not to go to small group, and they're all very valid. I'm tired. I am hungry. I'm always hungry at 6 o'clock. And if I don't eat, I get tense when I'm hungry. So if I have to wait, and my children needs to be bathed, they're tired, they're screaming, I've got lots of work. But man, every time I go, it's like, thank you, God. Thanks. I'm just so glad I went. So we have to get disciplined in this area. We say, no, I don't neglect the fellowship of the brethren. We don't do it. Okay, but anyway, Encounter 2 talks about the family of Christ. What it also talks about, and it has changed lately, is so many people walk with hurts that they picked up in a church. It's a plan of the enemy. Now, the one thing I can promise you, those hurts, I cannot promise that you're not going to get hurt in church. I can promise you that you will get hurt. That's all I can promise you. But how we react towards that is where we decide if we walk in God's way or the devil's plan. There's so many people that just cannot be bothered about church, and it's the biggest lie the enemy has ever sold them. But is the pain and the suffering that you went through real? Yes, it is real. Let's talk about it. Encounter two, let's talk about it. What happened? What's wrong? How do you feel about leadership? What's wrong? Pray about it. Let's get over this, man. My introduction to church was like a honeymoon. Honestly, perfect. And then somewhere, there came an offense. And I had to deal with it. And I can tell you now, I've dealt with it. I'm okay. Maturity is not telling people there's not going to be offense in church. Maturity is telling them where they're going to be and then acting God's way when it happens. You will get offended with me. Just stay around me for long enough. You will get offended. Not because I want to, because I'm human. You'll get offended with Yaku. I promise you. Where are you going to go if you get offended? In Encounter 2, we help you to work through these things. Amen? Amen. Are you still here? Yeah. Amen. Let me tell you a story about the baptism. When I arrived here like 9 years ago, then we started introducing these things, and there was this one Jimmy. I can't remember his surname now, but Gallagher. Now, Jimmy was like he was the dude, he was the man. He wasn't in charge, but he was actually in charge. and then I remember, I don't know, I think he told me afterwards, in his small group he told everybody, we'll do everything, but that baptism, it's not happening. just before Jimmy left, we baptized him and his wife. Amen. We didn't force Jimmy to get baptized. The love of Christ showed him this is the right thing to do. Jimmy got baptized. Amen. Isn't that great? I remember that. So we're not forcing, we're not giving you a list of things to do. I want to show you why we want you to do it. All right. Foundation three. It's not a wow sermon. It's just game plan, people. Game plan. Foundation three. Proverbs 14 verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in them. Then you will find rest for yourselves. What I wrote down here, and I want to summarize what I think happens in Foundation 3. Throughout our life, or let me say, our behavior towards situations in our lives, the way in which we react, the way in which we behave to a difficult situation in our life, is many times shaped. Our upbringing, the circumstances in which we grow up, it shapes our behavior. So you'll see somebody that grew up without a father. There was no father figure in their life, no family structure, anything. They shaped. They behave in a certain way. You tell that person, no, you can't do this. Watch how he reacts. Not because he's bad, but because life shaped him like that. He cannot deal with discipline. He cannot deal with rejection. I was like that in some instances in my life, where it was just like, you don't push there, then I will react negatively because I've been shaped my whole life. The circumstances shaped me like that. People, we carry emotional baggage when we come to Christ, and not all of that baggage falls off. And it's not only women that have emotional baggage. They have a lot more. No, I'm joking. Oh, now I'm in trouble. No, they're just emotional. I'm not saying that. Now I'm in trouble. I know I am. But we walk around sometimes knowing Christ, having been saved, but so much emotional baggage, so much stuff that has not been dealt with. Foundation 3 talks about these paths of righteousness. There's a way. There's that way, and then there's this way. And this way has got lots of peace on it, like the scripture says. You find rest for your soul. There's so many highly strung, if I can say that, Christians. You can see, they walk around with this tension. There's like emotional stuff going on inside. And Jesus has not shown them the way yet. Foundation 3, I'm trying to summarize something very complex here, but it sets you free from all that stuff. Where did I want to share this? My brother, I'll see him next week, he worked in Russia now. Can you believe it, Russia? But he said, it's actually a bit off the topic, but anyway, I was a little horror in matric, not the greatest to be around, especially in the house. If there was one person that caused the friction in the house, it was definitely me. Then I went to varsity and I got saved. And my brother, he was like one of these perfect teenagers. Never like massive issues, but just steadily growing. So the one day I see, okay, now he's saved. Now he's going, he's running with God. I don't know where he told me, but he said, he decided, and I hope I'm conveying it correctly. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But that he saw how I changed. And that's when he decided that God I must follow. Because I know this little man in matric. And now I see something different. New. Not old Theo revamped, refurbished. A new one. Amen. Paths of peace. Paths of righteousness. So the things that I had to go through in Foundation 3 was just these. And even growing up in a fantastic home, we've got emotional scars in our life. And those things withhold us from pursuing God's purpose just like full steam. We want to help you find those paths of peace. And I know there's even some people here this morning. You know, when I talk about tension and that lack of rest in your life, you know you've got it. Jesus sets you free in Jesus' name. I'm telling you that. And do these things resurface still in my life? Yes, they do. But I've got the recipe how to deal with it now. I've been shown the path of peace. So when I see I'm not there, I can move. Amen? The last one is, and I'll also tell a story rather than. Foundation 4 talks about deliverance. Remember those first scripture we said, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Now go and make disciples. That authority, just remember that. When I grew up, I was terribly afraid of the dark. Now, I know lots of kids are, but I think I was a bit too much afraid of the dark. Now I'm not anymore, really. I remember I saw a friend, he had this book about the devil and demonic influences. That stuff scared me, man. I was just like always so afraid. I hope the devil doesn't do that to me. And I hope that stuff doesn't happen to me. I was just afraid. What Foundation 4 did for me is it showed me who must be afraid. And it's not me. I remember the closing of my Foundation 4. I think I've done it 3 times. Is where Sias, I think it was him, he prayed for me and he said, no, I see you holding a sword. And I think it was on a mountain. And the picture that it put in my head, and I want you to see that, is that I am in charge. Under Christ, I'm in charge. But these devils and demons and things, I have the authority over them. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of the dog. I'm not afraid of demons. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not. He's afraid of me when I walk in Christ. Not arrogantly. I don't go charging out here and talk to every demon. And no. I know my place in Christ. Foundation 4 does this for you. Yes, it delivers you from some strongholds in your life that you've exposed yourself to. You know that a Christian, there's a question, can a Christian have demons? You can have whatever you want. If you expose yourself to some demonic activities, you can have it. It's not Jesus that allows it. It's you that open up. Anyway, Foundation 4 sets you up where you realize, in Christ, I'm in charge. So for instance, sometimes it works, not always. But when stuff goes there's too many sick kids in my house, there's too many things going wrong in my house, you know, like life just hits you, then it's me that says, no, it stops. Get that oil out, anoint this house, and tell the devil to go. Walking in that authority. Foundation 4 doesn't just get out all the demons in our lives. It helps us with that, but it puts you in a place of authority where you speak to the devil and you tell him where he can touch and where he can't touch. And you walk in that path of peace. Amen. Are you with me, people? How's this team talk so far? Can you see the game plan? All right. The last one, and I'm almost finished. Isaiah 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Wim Dennis Sr. always says, we are so privileged, and then he's talking to me, or us, yeah, that you already know what you know about marriage, what you know about business, godly business, marriage, godly marriage, what you know about the word, because I just wish I knew that when I was younger. You see, godly knowledge gives life. The scripture says, without that knowledge, the people perish. So, if you remember right in the beginning of those scriptures that I read, it said, it had lots to say about where they were walking the apostles, teaching, go out there for baptizing them, teach them, teach. This church is full of a lot of teaching. Now, just one of them, you don't have to, but it's Bible school. I'm telling you, people, just the amount of knowledge that I received from various places of teaching in this church. When, if it was a relational camp, I actually went to a relationship camp. You know, those camps, that was still in varsity. They were actually just there because you were trying to find your wife. Now, let's just get unspiritually. You go to a relationship camp if you're not married to see if you can find your wife. It was all good. It was. I didn't find her there. I found her here. But knowledge gives life. Yes, we must organize enough. Yes, you can organize it. Clarence, you can go and a few other people. Amen. But knowledge gives life, people. Knowledge of the Bible gives life. There's certain truths that I walk in, certain areas of rest, peace in my life, purely because I know what this, what Scripture says about it. And we have to help people. The game plan is, and the game team talk is now over. All these things that we do in church are not there to keep everybody busy. It is to get people to where they follow Christ without baggage, where they can run with Christ. Not just making it into heaven, but running in that fullness of Christ that He promises. Amen. Let's stand. Clarence, can you play a little? So, hopefully this week, if you're in your small group, talk about these things. God must open our eyes to see the people, where they're struggling with certain issues. And it's, I just also want to say, people, we don't have to get baptized and spirit-filled and taught and all of that at Encounters and Foundations only. Really. If somebody wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and he says that in your small group, pray for him. Let him get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If he wants to get baptized in water, baptize him. If he wants to get delivered, pray for him. Deliver him. Show him. It doesn't have to all happen in these Encounters and Foundations that we have. But this is a type of team that we are. We're a team. We don't hide these gifts. We don't hide baptism. We don't hide the fact that we need to be delivered. This is who we are. Amen? And let's run with this. Let me pray. Father, Lord, I thank you that for the recipe that you've given us. It's not the perfect recipe. There's probably better ones, but Lord, this one works for us. I pray that we will just get excited about it, Father, that you will speak to us about it. I just want to pray, and I feel I must pray for people here that you're not experiencing, or there's an area in your life where you're not experiencing rest. So let's practice what I'm preaching. You don't need to wait for a foundation. If you are here this morning, I just want to add that first scripture that I read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to talk to two types of people here. Firstly, you might not be new at all, and you realize your relationship with God, it's shaky. This newness that I'm talking about, it's not new yet. Then Christ is asking you this morning, do you want to give your life to me for the first time? Do you want me to make you new? And the second, so that's the first group. The second group of people, if you're here and you feel like, no, I don't have rest in all areas of my life. But I can see that Christ makes all things new. I can see that He wants to point me onto paths of righteousness. So I want to ask, if you are in any of those two categories, and you say, I need to accept Jesus, or I don't have peace in this area, and you want us to pray for you this morning, where we're going to trust God for a word for you. I'm putting myself in the spotlight. We're going to trust God for a word for you. We're going to practice what we preach. If you are in those categories, you say, I want prayer, and just raise your hand quickly. Is anybody here? You want rest. You want us to pray for you. Amen. So while our heads are bowed, can I ask those people to please just come forward. Don't be shy. Don't let the moment overwhelm you. It's not, there's bigger things happening here than being shy. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to need some people to help me pray here. Who can help me here? I know Ruan must help me. I'm just going to pray a closing prayer for all of us here, and then we're going to lay hands on individuals here. Don't go before we've prayed for you. Amen. Father, thank you for today. Father, thank you for the team. Thank you that we're not alone. We're in a team, and we love this team, Father. I pray that you will show each and everyone their position in this team, Father. Let us run the race that we've started. Let us fulfill this race, Father. And I just bless everyone on this Sunday.